Hello, this is Rabbi Dave Felsenthal, Director of OU Alumni Connections, and it is my pleasure to be visiting with you this Elul Zman. Elul stands for Ani Ledodi Vedodi Li. I am to my beloved, and my beloved is to me. What does it mean to be Hashem's beloved? What does that mean to be loved by Hashem? Love is an extremely important topic, and in Elul I can't think of a more important topic to focus on, to understand what it means to be loved by God and how to love God back. And so in the Torah, Hashem gives us many commandments to love. We're commanded to love the stranger, commanded to love our parents, commanded to love ourselves, commanded to love our friends. And it's a big problem that when I talk to students on my trips in NCSY and my birthright trips, etc., and I ask them, can you be commanded to love? Invariably, they say, no, it's impossible. Love either happens or it doesn't. And I remember learning from Rabbi Noach Weinberg a wonderful, wonderful explanation for this. Because in Western society, we learn our concept of love from the movies we go to and the books we read, of love at first sight being this chemical reaction. Either it happens or it doesn't. The man falls in love with the girl. This guy Cupid comes along, little guy, right, with the bow and arrow, shoots the guy, shoots the girl, they fall in love. It's something that's out of our control. And Rav Noach points out that this is a little ridiculous because, you know, the guy is sitting in his office 16 years later. Along comes Cupid, shoots the guy, shoots the secretary. Sorry, honey, I fell in love with the secretary. There was nothing I could do about it. And this idea of falling out of love doesn't really translate, because if you look at our strongest love that we can look at as an example, the natural love of a love between a parent and a child, Cupid never comes along and shoots the neighbor's kids. Sorry, kids, you're going to have to move out of the house. I just fell in love with the neighbor's kids. They're moving in. So the formula doesn't work, and we are commanded to love. We can control love. We can be responsible for love. And so what does that mean? So there's two parts to the Jewish definition of love. One part is that you have to give without expecting back in return. You have to care about what's good for the other person, not necessarily what's good for yourself. As parents, we all sacrifice for our kids. We all do what's best for them, not necessarily best for ourselves. And that is one part of the Jewish definition of love. And the second part is to focus within on the character traits, on the aspects, on the midot that we love within the person that we're trying to love, within ourselves, or within the Ribbono Shel Olam. And if we focus on those character traits, when you focus on a character trait, it becomes stronger. And as it becomes stronger, and as you focus on it more, it becomes a spiral effect where you get closer to the person gets closer to you, and the parts of that person that you love get stronger and stronger. When I ask any of my students, are you going to have kids? Most of them raise their hands. And I ask them, are they going to love their kids? And they all say they know they're going to love their kids. But I ask them, how do you know you're going to love your kids? Your kids might have attributes that you don't like. I mean, there's some people out there that you don't like, and they have attributes that you don't like. And what if your kids have those character traits? They say, well, they're a part of me. I'm going to love them. And that's because they focus within. They look within, and they find the parts within them that they love. I'll give you one great story that happened to me a while back. I came home from synagogue one morning and went up to my study to get my briefcase, and there was my son, Svi, sitting in my study. He had a big smile on his face. Now, we had moved 9 times in our first 10 years of marriage, and I had a big baseball card collection. One of my prized parts of my collection were these 2 unopened packs of baseball cards from 1967, the year I was born. And they traveled with me in all 9 moves. Well, I come home from synagogue and see my son Svi sitting on the floor in my study, and he's chewing some very old Topps chewing gum from 1967. And I looked at him, and I see the smile on his face. And I don't know, for some reason, I didn't explode. I just picked him up, took him out of the study, closed the door, and said, this is Abba's study, and put him down and gave him a kiss, and I went to work. When I got to work, there was a voice on my answering machine from my wife, and she was crying, and she was saying, I can't believe you didn't punish him. I can't believe you didn't explode. And it was just it was an amazing thing, and I started analyzing, why didn't I? And it's because when I looked at his face and I saw that smile, I realized, you know, he's smiling and saying, I'm like Abba. I'm playing with Abba's toys. I'm just like Abba. And when I looked at that smile, it overwhelmed me with love, and I wasn't able to focus on the anger that would have normally have been there. Not saying that happens every time, but it's a good example for the idea of focusing within. If you look within, you find love. You can know you're going to do it with your children. We could do it with each other, and we should do it with ourselves, and we should do it with the Rabbanu Shalom. So here in Elul, Anila Dodi Vidodi Li, I am to my beloved, my beloved is to me, is talking about our relationship with Hashem. And it's talking about looking within ourselves and then looking within the world around us and finding those things that we love and focusing on them and making them stronger. If I went to any parent and I offered them money for their child, let's say I offered them $1 million for their kid, they never see their kid again. The kid would be happy and healthy, but they never see them again. Hopefully, no parent would sell me their child for $1 million because our children are worth more than money. The love we have to our children is something that I wish we all had with our spouses and with our friends, etc. And so that's the love that we want to try to emulate, the love that we can understand the best in this society. Because we're willing to sacrifice for our kids, and we're willing to do anything for them. And if I offered you $1 million for your kid, all of a sudden you start thinking a little bit differently about your kid for a few minutes. Wow, he or she, they're worth $1 million. They're worth more. I wouldn't sell them for all the money in the world. So for a few minutes, you appreciate them a little bit more, and you start thinking about, boy, maybe I should spend some time with this multi-million dollar possession or prize. And another aspect is Hashem is our parent. Just like we are our kids' parents, Hashem is our parent. And what does Hashem want for us? Does Hashem want any old thing for us? What do you want for your kids? You don't want any old pleasure for your kids. You want the best. You want your kids to have the best happiness they can have in life. And that's what Hashem wants for us. He wants us to have the best as well. And so if you just even think about that, think about the love that engenders. When you know that somebody cares for you, regardless of what is good for them, doesn't want any old good for you, but wants the best for you. Right? That makes you feel loved. That feeling is the feeling that a child has to a parent has to a child. And that's the feeling that Hashem has for us. And one aspect of this we can find in the Torah, one clear aspect of this is from the mitzvah of loving your friend as you love yourself. In the pasuk in the Torah that it says, love your friend as you love yourself, or love your neighbor as you love yourself, it says, don't bear a grudge, don't take revenge. Love your friend as you love yourself. I am the Lord your God. And there's a lot of aspects of this pasuk that we can analyze. But for right now, I'm just going to focus on the very last part. Because it's Elul and because we're talking about our relationship with Hashem, I want to focus on why does it say, I am the Lord your God at the end of this pasuk talking about love. And I heard a great explanation from Rav Noach Weinberg in the form of a story. He said that there was this father and son. And the son came home from school one day and said, Dad, I have 100 friends. And his father said, Son, 100 friends? That's a lot of friends. Do you really have 100 friends? And he said, Yeah, Dad, how many friends do you have? And he said, Son, I have a half a friend. Dad, a half a friend? You're the most popular guy I know. Everybody loves you. What do you mean you only have half a friend? And he said, Son, I want you to do a test. Go to your 100 friends. Tell them you were in a bar and you were in a fight. And you defended yourself. And while you were defending yourself, you killed him by accident. And the body's here in this bag that you have with you. Can they help you bury the body and see what happens? The son said, that's a pretty big test, but okay, let's see. So over the next couple of weeks, he went to each and every one of those friends, and not a single one would help him bury the body. He came back to his dad and said, you're right, none of them would help me. What would your half a friend do, Dad? He said, why don't you ask him? So he went to the half a friend and he said, I was in the bar, the fight, the fence, killed, body, bag. Can you help me bury him? And the friend said, sure. Come around back. They dug a hole. They buried the bag. And afterwards he said, it's not a good idea for us to be seen together after this because someone might put two and two together and we might get in some pretty big trouble. They don't ask a lot of questions during the time of the Roman Empire when it comes to murder. So, why don't we it's my pleasure to help you, but don't come around here again, okay? Great, thank you so much. And he went home to his dad. Dad, he was great. He helped me. Why do you call him only a half a friend? He said, well, son, what did he tell you? Well, he did say he didn't want to see me anymore, but Dad, that's pretty harsh. If that's a half a friend, what's a whole friend? He said, son, let me tell you a story. Back in the olden days of the Roman Empire, it wasn't split in two like now, but it was one whole empire. And there were two boys who were best friends. They grew up together, they did everything together, and you never seen better friends. But when the empire split, the parents of one of the boys moved from the Italian side to the Syrian side of the empire. And as they got older, they grew up, they created families of their own, but they always kept in touch, and they did business with each other. They supported their families by trading services and goods from one side of the empire to the other. And one time, the Italian friend was visiting the Syrian friend, and the emperor of that part of the empire accused him of being a spy and sentenced him to death. And he said, "I'm not a spy." And the emperor said, "Yeah, right. They all say that." He said, "Well, I've had all my money tied up in business dealings. Let me go home, sell off my goods, say goodbye to my family, give them the money. Then I'll come back and then you can kill me." The emperor said, "Do you want me to let you go home and then you're going to come back so I can kill you?" "Yeah." "Yeah, right. That's not happening either." He said, "Well, I've got a friend. My friend will stay here in my place. And if you let me go home and sell off my goods and say goodbye to my family, I'll come back and then you can kill me. And if I don't, he'll let you kill him instead." The emperor said, "I don't believe that for a second. Bring your friend in." So he brought the friend in and he asked him, "I accused your friend of being a spy. He says he's innocent. I don't believe him." He said, "You will take his place. And if he doesn't come back in 2 weeks after saying goodbye to his family, then you will let me kill you instead of him. Is that true?" And the friend said, "Yes, I will." The emperor said, "Okay, I've been bored. Hasn't been a war lately. You know, let's see what happens. Okay, throw him in jail. You go home. You got 2 weeks." So he goes home, sells off his goods, said goodbye to his family, gets on the ship to come back. As he's coming back, the winds don't blow exactly right. He's coming in. It's a little late. He comes running into the courtyard where the execution is supposed to take place. And thank God his friend hasn't been executed yet, but he's about to. He comes running in, pushes his friends out of the way and says, "I'm here. I'm accused of being the spy. Kill me." Friend says, "Nuh-uh." Pushes him out of the way and says, "I'm here. You were late. I'm supposed to be killed." And puts himself back in place. And they're pushing and fighting and trying to take the place of each other. And the executioner isn't the brightest guy. He's not quite sure what to do. He thinks, maybe I get two for the price of one. He decides he better ask the emperor. So that he brings them in front of the emperor. And he says to them, the emperor says to them, "Let me get this straight. I accused you of being a spy. You said you're innocent. I sent you home. You took his place. You're back late. So you're saying he's late, I should kill you. You're saying you were accused of being a spy, I should kill you. You're both saying I should kill you, not the other one. Do I have that right?" And they said, "Yes, your emperor." He said, "You know, I've never seen anything like this before. I'll make you a deal. I won't kill either of you on one condition, that you make me your third friend." So when we say, don't bear a grudge, don't take revenge, love your friend as you love yourself, I am the Lord your God, that's what we're saying. We're saying that when we really love each other, when we really love our friends, when we love our parents, when we love the stranger, and when we love Hashem, Hashem is a partner in that love. And that can create miracles. We're all looking now, more than almost any time in Jewish history, at how are we going to love each other. The Jewish people are fighting over everything and anything. And we know that we need to learn to love each other, and we need to make this the year where we learn to do it. How can we do it? What do we need to do? Let me tell you about two Jewish kings. The first was named Shaul, and the second was named Achav. Shaul was a righteous king. Everything he did was correct from the Torah. Everybody learned the Torah in his generation. Everybody knew the Torah. Everybody was righteous. But we were not united. And because we were not united, we didn't do very well, and it was a very short rulership. There are a lot of people named Shaul or Saul out there, but the other king named Achav or Ahab, not too many people name their kids. Maybe a Moby Dick, but nowhere else. Why don't they name their kids Ahab or Achav? It's because he was an evil person. He tried to kill all the prophets. He didn't know the Torah. The generation was not righteous. However, he was very successful as a king and conquered a lot of territory. Why was he so successful when Shaul was not? It's because in Shaul's generation, we were not united. In Achav's generation, we were. Even though we didn't know the Torah and we weren't righteous, we loved each other. And therefore, we were successful. Hashem, our parent, looks at us and sees, are we getting along with each other or are we fighting? It's as simple as that. When my kids fight, even if I want to give them a present, I'm not going to do it. And when they get along with each other and I see them playing and loving each other, nothing makes me happier. The same with us. We are Hashem's children, and we need to remember that we have to love our brothers and sisters, even if we disagree about things, even if some of us follow the Torah and some of us don't. The most important things to us winning the day as a Jewish people against all of our enemies that are surrounding us, the answer is love. Learning to love each other without holding back, without reservations, sacrificing what's best for the other rather than for ourselves, looking within each other and finding those things within each other that we love. And if we do that, then this Elul could be the time where we learn to love each other, we learn to become the unified Jewish people that we need to be at this time so that we can bring Mashiach b'mehera b'yameinu and have the love of Hashem felt strong and clear and revealed to all of us very soon. Have a great Elul, and it was my pleasure to be with you here today.